Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. Comedian Ayesha May in studio with us, and we're bringing in our street guy, Michael Killen.
Killen!
With March Madness picks. Ayesha went to UConn, so she's interested in this UConn-Arkansas game. I think we all are.
Yes, we are.
What do you think?
Yeah, it's going to be a great game. UConn is the favorite.
Do you know it's going to be a great game? Or you're,
yes, I can actually see it in the future. I got tomorrow's lotto numbers if you want them.
Okay,
yeah. Cool. Write them down.
Awesome. Cool.
Yeah, it should be. I watched both games that they played last. UConn is favorited. They're the number 4 seed left in their bracket. Arkansas is the number 8. UConn's best player, Adama Sanogo, he's definitely one of the better players in the tournament left. He got 24 points and 8 rebounds last game, and so he is definitely going to be the factor. And if he plays well, I believe UConn will win. And it's better that they're playing Arkansas because they could have played Kansas, and Kansas is a lot better. So I think it's going to be – I think UConn pulls out, but that's what's
great. How far do you think UConn will go? Can they go all the way?
In one of my brackets, I have them winning it all. They have it all. They have great coaching. They have great guard play.
How many brackets do you have?
I had 3 that I made.
3 brackets. And how many are still good?
Probably just one, the one that UConn's in.
Yeah,
right.
Good bracket. That 16 beating 1 blew out a lot of brackets.
Yeah, it's
Rob, do you have a bracket?
No, I don't have a bracket because usually every time I start a bracket, it's done after the first night. So
one of the club.
I should play these more.
I had a brace once.
Like, I don't get into Super Bowl pools or brackets, but they're fun.
Yeah.
I won one last year.
Did you?
How much
pool.
Money?
It was about $10,000.
Seriously? Really?
Yeah. It was lucky.
How much do you have to pay to get into?
It was a $50 entry.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. That's a nice turnaround.
Yeah, so it was, I called that a work the next day, but yeah.
I would too.
Right? Yeah.
You won how much?
About $10,000.
No breakfast this morning?
No, that was last year. I had to pay my taxes.
He spent it already, Rob.
He burned through that in 2 days.
Yep.
But
wow, 10 grand, 50 bucks in.
That's a good feeling.
So you must have had some bizarro pick in there.
You got to be different. You know, you see everybody else, they pick the same team. You have to be different because it's a risk-reward. Because if you pick everything else, you can't stand out. So you have to be different. So I picked Kansas last year to win it, and they won it. So I was sweating that last game.
Oh, wow.
Because the guy who I was playing, if the other team won, he would have won it. So it was it was one of those where I looked like a degenerate gambler in front of the TV, which I never wanted to be, but
right,
there I was.
But it happens.
Yep.
Yeah. It does happen.
Let's ask the tribe, what's the most you won in a Super Bowl pool or a March Madness bracket?
Yeah.
203-882-9757. 10 grand has to be the highest.
I would think.
Like, that's pretty high for a bracket.
I'd still be screaming.
That's a lot of money.
I looked it up. It's 1 in 120 billion if you get the bracket completely right.
I don't think there's
that's the odds.
120 billion?
Yeah.
There's never been one. I know, like, that
that's crazy.
Warren
yeah.
Buffett offers like $1 billion if you get it, and everyone's like, I want to try. You're not, it's, you'd have to fill out billions of brackets just to figure it out.
So you're saying it can be done?
Sure. Yeah.
Cool.
Just start working on it for next year. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Does Warren Buffett charge money to get in?
I don't think so. I think you might have to do it through like his certified web. It's not like you'd be like, oh, I filled this one out. It's like, no, it has to be through like his probably website
that's
or foundation or whatever. But yeah,
right.
Yeah. Crazy.
Wow.
I did a Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah. All right, so you think UConn's gonna win this?
I believe so.
Close?
Yeah.
Nice.
It should be close. Most when you get to this time of year, pretty much there's no blowouts, but yeah, it's gonna be good. And Arkansas's got some, they got a great, they're fast. So if UConn can stop, can keep them in the half court, you know, keep them to slow it down. But if they can run, they can run. But UConn's the best rebounding team left in the tournament. So
all you gotta do is just pour molasses on the court.
Yeah,
no, that's a good one. I wonder why no one started that.
Right. There's a bunch of shoes here. What happened?
Yeah, molasses.
Is that a banana peel?
Yeah,
the old banana peel.
Right,
look like Mario out Kart out there.
Some tacks, some nice marbles.
Yes, marbles are great.
I got to tell you, there's nothing more exciting than that, you know, that ball right at the, you know, buzzer beater.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
It's amazing.
If I thought you hear a glass break somewhere, wow, he missed entirely.
Yep. Yeah.
All right, so that what time is that game? 6:30?
That's 7:15.
7:15.
First game's at 6:30.
Smooth.
Yeah.
When they say 7:15, they mean 7:30, right?
Yeah, it's one of those, okay. Yeah.
All right.
Always late.
All right, Gonzaga.
So Gonzaga versus UCLA, the winner of that game will either play UConn or Arkansas. So if UConn wins, then they'll probably stay up, the UConn fans, to see who they're going to play. Gonzaga's a 3 seed, UCLA's 2 seed. A lot of people have the 2 seed UCLA going all the way as well. I have them in the Final Four.
Gonzaga in the Final Four?
No, sorry, UCLA.
Okay.
Yeah, they're definitely a favorite this year, even as a number 2 seed. But however, no West Coast has won the championship since 1997, so...
So they do.
I hate those statistics.
Yeah, because then you know
real downer.
Yeah, so... And it's going to be a good game. The coach at UCLA, Mick Cronin, he's a firecracker. He's a ref's nightmare, so he's going to be loud. He's funny to watch.
Yeah.
He's good entertainment.
Right. So, now he's grabbing his chest in the floor. What a firecracker! He's dying!
But, yeah, Gonzaga's got a great player named Drew Timmy. He's got this mustache, looks like from the 70s.
I like mustaches.
The Ron Jeremy?
Not on
pretty
me.
Much, hopefully not, but yeah.
I like guys who just, it takes balls to just... There it is. You know, it's the first thing everyone sees when they see is like
it's close.
They think you're cool or a weirdo. Everyone makes a judgment immediately on you.
Hey, George Tannen, get over here.
I gotta Google this now. Right. What's his name?
What's his name again?
Drew Timmy.
Drew Timmy?
Yeah.
Timmer.
He's got a mustache, a little floppy hair, but he's really good.
Right. Is it like a bushy mustache, or is it does he have like the dark, the handlebar thing going on?
No, it's just like a regular Burt Reynolds kind of mustache.
Pornstache?
So if it's, it depends on which pitcher.
Okay.
So there's mustache and beard, then just mustache. If it's just the mustache, it's something that would
handlebar
be in like
energy.
Handlebar. Yes.
Right. The flavor saver. Yes.
1890.
Yeah. Yes.
The flavor saver. Yep.
Yeah.
The flavor. Yep.
1890 in a taste derby, and there you go.
Right before lunch, taste breakfast.
Yep.
Yep. Cool.
All right. Michigan State.
So we got Michigan State versus Kansas State. I had Kansas State playing against UConn in the finals, so I had them going far. They have great guard play, which this time of year, if you have seniors that have been around for a while, the experience does help. But Tom Izzo over at Michigan State, he is a legendary coach. He's been there for 20-something years, and so he knows what it takes to win. It's a great matchup. They got to hit their free throws, and that's what I've seen a lot is Kansas State they're shooting 90-something percent from the free throw line, which is really important.
That's an incredibly high number.
Yeah. And
I'm good at it.
See how many free throws we can make.
Oh, let's do it.
Yeah.
Like zero.
I love throwing things.
Let's just go with zero, and we'll pass on
the
whole thing.
I'll take the under,
It's the whole dribbling and running with the ball I have a problem with.
You could do the free throws?
I can do throws, yeah. I just can't run with the ball. I'm dribbling.
Okay.
Yeah. Hits my knee. I go chasing across the court. Like an idiot.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, it's a lot of pressure when you're in a game and it's really tight.
Everybody's
there. Very
close.
Seconds left on the clock, and here's your opportunity to win the game or put your team in a chance to win the game. It's a lot of pressure. A
lot of pressure.
Get in your head.
I've seen it. I've watched a lot of games as a fan and as an official, and I've seen games are won and lost at the free throw line. It's a big difference at the end. If you can't hit that, they call it free, but most people don't want to take the advantage of it. But
what if you throw the ball and someone's like big gulp?
Yeah, well, we
does that
do
count?
That. Yeah,
what's
counts.
That now?
Like if you throw the ball and misses and goes in someone's cup, like someone's holding a big cup or a popcorn bucket and it lands in there.
I'll check on that.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, they just
that's extra points I think right there.
Yeah,
they just changed the rule actually. That it's like you win the game if that happens.
There you go. See, as it should be. Thank you.
Yeah. So anyway,
that's a madness of March right there.
I'm all about sports.
March sadness over here.
Hey, those guys just stuck me in lockers in high school.
No, it's become a cartoon. Yeah. We're throwing banana peels out there, and we're throwing basketballs into big gulps.
Right. Yeah. You replace the ball with like a time bomb with a little wick on it.
Yeah, Space Jam 3 over here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Who do you like for Michigan State, Kansas City? Kansas State.
I don't like anybody.
Who do you like?
I like Kansas State. Yeah.
Okay.
I think they're experienced in the tournament, and they have a really great coach. But don't count out Tom Izzo, Michigan State, but I think Kansas State pulls this one out.
All right. Florida Atlantic.
It's a weaker number 9 seed, Florida Atlantic. They're facing Tennessee. The head coach of Tennessee, he was at Texas for about 20 years, so he has a lot of experience in playing in big games. So I think Texas or Tennessee pulls it out. But that's what's great about the tournament is that no one will be shocked if FAU wins because it's a one game sample. You know, that's why like in games in the NBA you get best of seven, so it's like you could have an off night. But in this game, in this tournament, you can't have an off night. So it's like you have to bring your best. You can't take anybody for granted. So that's what people love about this tournament. So I think Tennessee wins. They blew out Duke, who was my champion in one of my brackets, and Duke looked great in the first game. They played Tennessee in the second game, and they lost by almost 15, 17 points.
Wow.
So it's Tennessee looks good, and I do believe that they'll pull out the victory.
So you're saying UConn?
Yep.
UCLA?
Kansas State, Tennessee.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And one more funny thing on UConn, Arkansas. I feel bad for the referees tonight because the head coach of UConn, Dan Hurley, he just yells all game.
Okay.
He's just screaming. And then the head coach of Arkansas, his name's Eric Musselman. Last game when they beat Kansas, he went in front of the crowd and he took his shirt off and started waving it around. That's the head coach of the team.
No. That's great.
I can see mad nipples. No.
Gets everyone pumped up.
Right? Oh, yeah. But his name's Musselman, so he's trying to show off his muscles. But
yeah. Are there muscles to
No.
Be...
No,
okay.
No. Yeah. That's why he's like a sad squid.
I think if your last name is Musselman, you have to work out all the time.
Yeah, you have
to. It's an obligation.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Or I guess the opposite.
Just wear big shirts.
All right, Michael. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me in.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, AJ, who are you picking?
Everybody he said.
Yeah.
Yep. UConn, definitely.
Yeah, I'm going to watch that game tonight. Yeah. I think that'll be a lot.
It's early enough to watch it. Yeah.
Christine with Advanced Investigations in studio. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thanks. So how did you get into private investigating?
So I have a bachelor's degree in criminal justice, and I have a master's in criminology.
Nice. So when you went for these degrees, what did you want to be a private investigator or were you thinking something different? And
initially, I wasn't quite sure. I knew I wanted to do something in the CJ field, but I was kind of open to where it took me, whether it was private investigating, police officer, going federal, something.
Did you watch a television show or something that inspired you?
No, it was just something I've always kind of been interested in. You know, I'm big with helping people and this was a way that I could do it.
Did your parents do something like that or...
Not my parents, but I have family friends who are all in the criminal justice field, whether it be a police officer, attorneys, things like that.
Thank them for us.
Right. Of course.
Maybe not the attorneys.
I had friends with a criminal. Maybe you know them.
Yeah. You'd be surprised how many CSI people were inspired by the CSI program.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
They see the show, and they're like, I think I want to do that.
I want to do that.
Absolutely, especially going to college and, you know, doing the undergrad. Everybody was like, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that. And then you really get into it, and you're like, no, that's not how this works.
Right. Yeah. It's not solved in 30 minutes.
Yeah. Exactly.
The laboratory's not glamorous with a whole song playing and, like, a light blue light. And
cool lights.
Your hair's perfect.
Right.
Right.
I see the CSI people walking around the scene because their hair's all perfect. I'm like, no.
It doesn't happen, no.
No.
The chalk breaks on the person. Yeah.
But it is cool work. So you got to have that brain where you see a puzzle and you're like, I got to put these pieces together.
Absolutely. You know, we deal with cases all over the spectrum and it's having that eye to think outside the box and come up with all these different solutions that you might not normally think of is a lot of what we do.
So you do an infidelity. Is that primarily what people call a private investigator for?
When most people think of private investigators, they think infidelity. You know, we're out hiding in the woods, chasing somebody, trying to catch them doing something.
Have you been out in the woods hiding?
Usually not in the woods. Usually we're in our cars.
There's a leaf in our hair. Get a leaf out of your hair.
That's weird. Like, how do you tail someone without them knowing that you're following them?
Different disguises, right?
I have a trunk in my car that has different
jackets,
articles of clothing, jackets,
get
hats.
Out.
That's
right.
So cool.
She'll repaint her car. That's cool.
I'll go from, you know, having my hair down to throwing it up in a ponytail quick, throwing sunglasses on, changing my shirt.
If you're doing multiple days following the same person, will you change cars?
We have a team of investigators, so sometimes
you'll switch out
we'll switch out the investigators. Depending on how big the case is, you know, we can get other vehicles.
A tank.
If we need to.
Have you ever dressed as a bush?
Right. I have not
yet.
As a bush.
No, she's working on that.
I'm a bush outside of a house. That bush just sneezed.
Like a house plant. She was a painting.
God bless you. Thank you.
She was a painting on the wall one time.
Right?
That was pretty cool.
That's pretty wild.
It's fun. And every day is different. You know, you never really know what you're going to get into and where a case is going to lead. You know, we could go down one avenue and find something, and now all of a sudden we're going a completely different direction than what we initially thought because of something we found. And
that's wild.
It's so cool. It's fun. It's hard, but it's fun.
Have you ever been in a situation where your heart's pounding through your chest and you're thinking, this could go bad?
Never to that extreme. We do personal security and personal protection for individuals and for businesses.
Oh, nice.
What kind of a person needs personal security?
Lottery winner.
Big jerks.
Yeah, exactly right. Someone can't get their mouth shut, so I need your card. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, I said something really bad today. I need your card.
We've had some notable people in the community that have had either family problems or business problems where they thought their life was in danger, so they would hire us, you know.
Oh, okay.
Some of us are armed. We're all trained. And we can do security.
If you're armed, I hope you're trained, because that would be weird.
Right.
To pull your gun and say, hold on one second.
Right.
Wait. I think this is the safe. Don't move.
Right. This is the thing that goes boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Point it this way, right? Yes.
That's wild.
Yeah.
So, you know, we drove her to her everyday tasks to and from the office. If she needed to go to the grocery store or something like that, we were at our property 24/7.
Oh, yeah. I'm guessing, right. You get these hostile divorces. It gets very...
ugly.
Dangerous and ugly.
Yes, it does.
And you got to have, wow, yeah, that's right.
Yep.
Holy crap. Child custody battles have to be nutty.
They're interesting. In the end, it's the kids that we, you know, want to protect. So we've got the mom versus the dad.
Neither wants the kid.
So when you're hired for that and it's not security, are you just trying to find the mom or the dad doing something bad so you can prove in court they're not fit to be a parent?
Exactly. So Sometimes we'll have court orders where, you know, one of the parents is not supposed to be drinking. So we'll do surveillance on that dad and, you know, all of a sudden we're catching him going to the liquor store three times a day.
Three times a day.
And it's like,
why not just make one big purchase?
Exactly right. You have just figured how much you can drink that day. And three bottles, absolute, boom.
Wow, that's a problem because you think, you know what? I just need this six pack. I'll be good with the six pack.
I'm good.
Like, an hour later, it's like, yeah, one more six pack.
Right. And I need a whole bunch more.
There was one case where it got to the point that the owner of the liquor store actually knew the child.
Oh.
And was like offering him lollipops and things like that. And we're like,
this is
not the situation that
well, that
we
was the info you were looking
but
for.
Exactly. We did, you know, we did our job. We got the what we needed. And now the kid's where he belongs and safe.
Have you ever had to sprint after somebody?
Right. Go chasing.
Yeah.
I have never personally chased anybody.
Have you ever been chased?
They come to her.
I have.
I don't have to chase people that come to me.
Not chased, but, you know, doing surveillance, it's...
They figure you out.
It's interesting.
Sometimes they figure you out, and
they're
not happy.
Exactly.
They get very angry, and they're like, you better go, or bad things are going to happen.
So, you know, you got to be able to think on the fly, too, because even when we're in neighborhoods doing surveillance, we'll have a neighbor come knock on our window like, what are you doing in my neighborhood? You've been sitting here for 8 hours.
Right.
What are you doing?
Right.
Break out that Girl Scout outfit. I'm telling cookies.
Right. What do you say when they knock on the window and say, what are you doing here?
Kind of the first thing that comes to mind.
What are you doing?
What are you doing here?
Yeah, what are you doing here?
I'm knocking on your window, Christine. Right. What are you doing here?
I'm checking out your neighborhood to see if there's any houses for sale.
Good. Nice.
For 8 hours.
Right. For 8 hours.
Right.
Now, and then, you never know. It's a hot market. For sale signs can go up.
Right.
You got to jump right on it.
Right.
Yep. So it all depends on the neighborhood. You know, if there's a for sale sign in the neighborhood, I'm checking out the neighborhood. You know, if there's an electric company or something working nearby.
There's a serial dog pooper. Keep an eye on your lawn.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Keep an eye on your lawn right there, right?
Depending on the neighborhood, on the situation, you know, in the bigger cities, it's a lot easier for us to blend in. There's all the on-street parking. I'm just another person sitting in their car being a weirdo.
It's a pretty cool job, yeah.
It's very cool. Wow. It's very cool.
You were saying something during the break about older ladies online.
With all the new technologies and online dating, we're constantly having people come to us to run, you know, backgrounds on people. Check out this person. Does this person really exist? And surprisingly enough, there is no age limit on online dating.
Wow.
So we've had cases where there's been older individuals who frequent online dating and call us to do background checks on these people. And we actually found one. This poor woman was getting catfished. Luckily for her, she didn't actually provide them with any money or anything
like
that. But
and smart to hire you.
Right.
Yeah. They were actually from a completely different country. They weren't even in the United States.
Oh.
And We found a whole slew of...
Your client was from the United States, yes, but the other one was not.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Correct.
An offshore oil rig somewhere.
Do you see that Tinder swindler?
Yes.
Show?
Yep.
Oh, that series?
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
It's, you know, with the technology, like I said, it's online dating. And, you know, we do a lot of computer forensics and digital forensics with people who are having tracking devices put on their vehicles. If their phones, their computers are bugged. We have a lot of technology that we can use to find stuff like that.
So if you think your spouse is bugging the house or whatever, you could come in and...
Wow, yep. So bad. We have... Oh, well, our team will come in. We have tons of equipment that we can use that will locate RF signals.
Is TikTok a problem? Are they listening?
Just big house.
Now, I don't mean is it a problem with some of these videos.
Right. Yeah.
And some of the challenges. I mean, like, are they listening? They're all listening.
They're all listening.
All the apps are listening.
You have a conversation
have
and all
photos,
of a sudden Google's coming up with, you know, something else.
Yeah.
You just talked about 10 minutes ago and you're like, wait a minute.
Right. How'd you know?
That's right.
How do I have for breakfast?
Who calls private investigators more, women or men?
Men.
See, I would have guessed the other way.
Wow.
Everybody does. I don't know if it's the men are just not as
insecure.
I wasn't going to go that way.
Or they know what they're up to.
Right. Yeah. Make sure she's legit.
Yeah. We end up following a lot more women with infidelity cases.
Wow.
Than we do men.
How many of them are typically, you know, like correct?
By the time it gets to us, usually there's a pretty good inkling that
it's kinda
happening.
Know.
And
stories aren't making sense. There's text.
We just need the evidence. Like, we know what's happening.
Sorry. One second. Hold on. Open the door.
Look, they're being investigated right now.
Yeah, we're being investigated.
There are people looking at us.
I
feel so naked. Oh, my God.
Hello.
How are you?
Go ahead.
Wow.
Open the door.
Sometimes very obvious folks just walk right in.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Hello.
You're on the radio.
Right. Watch your language. Thank you.
Thank you. You're the best.
Tell our boss that.
Yeah, that's right. Tell the boss.
Right. On the way out.
All right. Hello. Thank you for stopping by.
Look, I'm a real person. Oh, look, we got a brochure.
We have kind of an open house going on right now.
We do.
A lot of really cool people from the community, so I just wanted to acknowledge them.
Yes.
Yeah, so by the time someone hires an investigation company, they pretty much know. Now they just want proof.
Right. When it comes to the infidelity, definitely. They want the pictures. They want the videos.
Right. So it's getting to that stage. It's getting to the divorce stage, and I'm going to need to prove.
Yep, absolutely.
The videos are sick.
Yeah. I'm guessing you've been on these investigations where you see it's like, well, there he goes. Or there she goes.
Right.
They're going into a hotel or they're going.
Yep.
Some of these people are real blatant, too, right?
Right. Right in the parking lot.
Absolutely. I mean, we've had... you know, one I can think of off the top of my head, the guy came from out of state and he was coming to Connecticut and the now ex-wife was like, I don't know why he keeps going to Connecticut every weekend. So we ended up finding him and he's, you know, walking her dog. He's taking her kid to the park and...
He feels like it's a whole different...
It's
like,
a whole second
once
life.
Once you cross the state line, you're protected
different
by
life.
Some invisible cloak.
Different life, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So it's good to see that, you know, we did our job. We found what we need to find. But at the same time, it's, you know, it's
Well, it's heartbreaking when you're
heartbreaking.
At the table and you're handing the photos over.
Exactly.
Like, here you go.
Yep.
Providing the
updates, which is usually one of the things that I do. I'm the lead investigator for the domestics and the infidelity cases.
Oh, boy.
So I'm usually the one that's dealing with the client and not always the easiest to be like, yep, here you go. You know, we found her going to this hotel. We found them out to dinner.
It's tough.
Know.
Right. Yeah, especially when there's a lot of it.
These people that are coming to us are at their most vulnerable stages.
Well, it's got to be weird for you because you're following the person through their whole day. So you see them with their kids having a kid thing.
Right.
And then they're doing something really gross. Then they're back with their kids or whatever.
Right.
And they're living a double life.
Exactly.
As if it's normal.
Then you say, here's a bill.
Christina's here with Advanced Investigations. You know the woman who was run through the wood chipper?
Yes.
That all started with a private investigator.
Yes.
You heard that story? Everyone's heard that story. No one's heard the story?
I have.
Quick summary.
Really?
Quick summary.
I'm surprised.
Take us there.
The wood chipper case in Connecticut. It was the first time a person was found guilty of a murder without a body.
Yeah.
and a woman disappeared, and it turns out that she was murdered, cut up with a chainsaw, and then run through a wood chipper in Newtown. Right. You never heard this story? Yeah.
No.
I haven't. Me and Ruth have not. We're like, what?
Their mouths are agape right now.
No. So
yeah,
this,
your facial expressions are like, what?
See, she knows.
This couple, Richard Kraft and his wife, Helen, they're married, and he was a pilot, and she was a flight attendant.
Oh.
And there was some questions of infidelity. So she hired a private investigator.
Yes.
Private investigator followed Richard, got pictures, and they met at the Newtown. So now the investigator meets with Helen at the Newtown Diner, and he shows her the pictures.
Great diner.
And shortly after that, she disappears. Hmm. And Richard, the husband, says, yeah, she drove to the airport, and I never saw her again.
Wow.
So now the private investigator shows up at the police station and says, hey, I just want you to know, there's this woman missing, and I had pictures of her husband cheating, and now she's gone. And the cops were like, yeah, whatever. Sitting in the police station for some other story was a reporter with the Newtown Bee. He hears this and says, wait a minute, there's a story here. So he pushes the police into this investigation. Long story short, turns out that he murdered her, cut her up with a chain, froze her body.
Right.
So he can cut it up without a lot of blood spatter.
Right.
And then rented a wood chipper, went out in a snowstorm, and ran her through the wood chipper into the water.
The lake.
Yep.
Now, when police started asking the public if you saw anything weird, if you know of anything, a plow driver said, you know, that was kind of weird that I was plowing snow late at night and I saw someone on a bridge with a wood chipper. Mm. That started everything. So now they go to the rental facility. Rental facility says, you know, we got that wood chipper back. It was the cleanest wood chipper. It looked brand new.
Wow. He did a good job cleaning.
Yeah. So now the police start going through the river.
Where's the chipper?
And they found her tooth.
Oh.
And they found a part of her pajamas with a bill, with an electric bill in her front pocket.
Wow.
They found other things, but they were able to convict him without a body. And it was the first case. Henry Lee was instrumental in closing the case.
Oh, he's a big one,
but it was all started with
an investigator.
The private investigator. And this is the kind of emotion and danger you're dealing with when you're bringing evidence to someone.
Yeah.
Saying, yep, they're cheating.
Right.
Luckily, we have not had any clients of ours kill each
other. Right. So you haven't had any clients disappear.
Right. No.
No.
They just yell. And
so you keep track of them.
They just yell divorce a lot. That's about
0-for-1 with Chipper. Yeah. Right.
I can't believe it's the most famous murder case in Connecticut, and these two are just hearing
about
it.
We're like, what?
Did you say when it happened?
90s. In the 1990s. But there's a forensic file episodes. There's movies on it.
Right.
Huh. All right.
It was big. That's one of Connecticut's known, known cases.
Infamous case.
Yeah.
He was released from jail 3 years ago. Sorry. Yeah. Now I'm like, yeah. I'm invested.
No, you should look up the forensic files episode on that. Chaz and AJ.
1987. I wasn't even born yet.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's why you didn't hear about it.
Fine. Use your youth.
But also, it's a famous case. It's like you heard of Jack the Ripper, right? You weren't born when... You've heard of Jeffrey Dahmer. You've heard of these murders. You heard of Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer.
You don't have to be alive when it happens.
And Cupid and Donner and Blitzen.
I mean, you weren't born when George Washington was alive, okay?
But do you recall the most famous murder of all?
All right, we got to go. Yeah. Christine, you're great.
Yes.
Thanks for coming on. We got to have you back. We didn't even scratch the surface.
No.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys for having
Thank
me.
You.
So we're linked up to all things Advanced Investigations on the radio station website. Jimmy Topic, Live Nation on the show now. Gave us a Bruce Springsteen update. There is a new date. It's Saturday, September 16th.
Yep.
Tickets will be honored. If you can't make the date, Jimmy, what do you do?
You can get a refund. We opened up a 30-day refund window when the day we announced the new date. So we're still within that window, so you can get a refund.
Well, give me the tickets.
Okay. Three Doors Down and Candlebox coming to the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater in Bridgeport, along with the Steve Miller Band and Dave Mason.
Yeah, I was really happy with Steve Miller Band and Dave Mason. I think it's a great package. Same with Three Doors Down and Candlebox. I love when you have two artists that are well known that are playing together. I think it's really great.
Yep.
Yeah, those are great shows. Both of them.
Yep.
And we should mention Noah Kahan is also going, is on sale now and almost sold out already.
Wow.
Noah Kahan.
Whoever he is, right?
Right. He's that guy, Noah Kahan.
Yes, of course I do.
Right, right.
A lot of people know who he is.
That's Mrs. Kahan's kid. Mrs. Kahan's kid. Right, Noah.
Sound on Sound. Any new news with Sound on Sound?
Well, I did make a mistake. I had this great idea that wasn't such a great idea of putting seats on the floor, thinking that people would like to sit in seats. We put it on sale, and in all honesty, people didn't like the idea, didn't buy the very many seats.
How many sold?
160 out of 3,000.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. I said, oh, gosh, I screwed that up.
Interesting. What was the price on the seats?
$649. I thought people would like to sit for, you know, maybe my age made me think that way, but I was wrong. So we picked up the seats, and we no longer have seats, and we put what's back is GA Plus, which is general admission, but you get a lounge, you get a separate bar, and it's right behind the VIP area, so it's got a great, great location. And we are selling them like crazy.
Cool.
How much are those?
Those are $479.
Yeah, that's a good price.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So those are four. And they're selling great. So I corrected my mistake.
Well, it's great for anyone who's sitting behind that area,
yeah,
too, because it would suck sitting on the ground behind chairs.
Yep, exactly.
Yes, yes. So
everybody's happy.
The new map, everybody can go on the website and see the new map where everything is, and I fixed a mistake I made, which is always good. Always admit you made a mistake.
Yep.
Fix it.
When you're basically moving a city into a park for 2 days, and you have multiple bands, lots of people, food vendors, bathrooms, all of the things, security, cell towers, all these things to where it's a piece of art that's going to develop and get better as time goes on.
Right.
And
tweaking here, tweaking there.
You're right. We learned a lot last year. Every toilet will be flushable this year. We are going to set up cell towers within the field. We're doing a lot. We changed the site. It's still in Seaside Park, but the site's twice as large. The food vending is three times the size. You know, it's a learning experience. So we think we improved it big time this year.
Yeah.
Big time.
As great as it was last year, and Sunday, really, man, you went from Saturday to Sunday in light years. This year, even better.
Nice.
Yeah, the only complaints we had were about Saturday, not Sunday.
Rosemary in Milford, what's your question for Jimmy?
The Foxborough venue in Massachusetts. I wanted to know what you thought of that venue.
The Foxborough venue in Massachusetts.
And that's where the Patriots play. I've never seen a concert there. I've only seen football
games. I've never been there, so I was wondering if it was a decent place or what it's a good opportunity.
I will tell you, it's a big football stadium, but other than that, I've only seen football games there.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's a big place.
I've only gone up there and watched the Jets lose.
Where the good shoes.
I'd go anywhere and watch the Jets lose.
You could do that at home on your couch.
Right.
I do that too.
All right. Thank you, Rosemary. Sorry we don't have a specific, you know.
Well, it's a big football stadium. So,
yeah.
You know,
yeah. How do you feel about that when you see a band? And it depends on the band. Like Bruce can make you feel like you're in Toad's place.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Another band might feel a little lost.
Right.
I saw Pearl Jam and the Ramones in New Orleans. In a whatever the Saints Stadium's called today,
right?
And the Ramones looked a little lost on a stage that big. Pearl Jam felt like it was Toad's place,
right?
Some bands are great in those scenarios. Some bands are a little bit lost because it's a little too big,
right?
It is so true. It is so true. The Stones are like that. You can see the Stones in a stadium, and it is fabulous. Ooh, almost said the wrong word.
That's okay.
It's funny how much energy Mick brings to that show, because when he leaves and they let Keith sing a song or whatever, it's still the Stones, but you know he's gone.
Right,
He's a charger.
Right.
A lot of energy.
Oh, it's like when we had Steely Dan and Walter Becker, may he rest in peace, was alive, and Donald Fagen gave Walter one or two songs to sing. and you should have seen the lines at the beer.
Sings that well, huh?
Right. There's that energy that a lead singer brings.
Yep.
Yes, no question about it.
Joe the Barber, what's your question for Jimmy?
Jimmy, question is 1988, Easter Sunday, Grateful Dead, Harper Civic Center. When we got there, they had speakers set up in the hallway so everybody could dance, and every door That's was cool. open going into the Harper Civic Center. Did you know about that, that the Grateful Dead was going to set up speakers in the hallway?
Yes. Yes. Grateful Dead always tried to do something different, and they wanted to have people dance in the hallways Hello? Because you couldn't dance inside the arena that well because of the reserved seats.
Ah.
So they purposely set up speakers in the hallway so you can twirl in the hallway.
Nice.
That's really
a little
something.
Dancing area, a little twirling.
Have you, there's
that
a
was,
new...
By the way, that was three shows, April 3, 4, and 5. That
wow.
was
wow.
one of the few times that we had three shows at the Hartford Civic Center.
That'd be kind of a fun show to do an Easter egg hunt at.
Right.
Grateful Dead show.
I found something green.
Don't eat it.
Right. Is this a jelly bean? Don't eat that!
Reg in Norwalk, what's your question for Jimmy?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Hey, Jimmy, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Little Big Town in Bridgeport.
They decided not to tour this summer. We had them all set up to return, and they decided not to tour this summer.
Oh, wow.
Bummer. Yeah.
So how does that work? You go through all of the courting, the process?
Yeah, we actually held, yeah, we held the date. We set up the ticket prices. We're all set to go. And then not sure what the reason was, but they decided not to tour.
Oh. Now, do you charge them a service charge for
for wasting time?
It's like we all of our people went through all of the process.
Right, and you said no.
So we need a no.
No, a little penalty?
We just, we'll talk to you about that next time you come around.
Next time they get one tray of sandwiches.
Yeah.
Just give them the old you owe me.
Right. Yeah, you owe me a favor.
You owe me.
Yeah, you owe me.
I went through all this trouble for you.
All right, if you have a question for Jimmy, 203-882-9757, you can call or text. Got a text from Denise asking about Tesla, not the car or the band.
Oh.
Tesla's either going to play Oakdale or Foxwoods, one of the two, but you'll see them sometime probably in the summer or the fall.
Nice.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And how's that going right now?
Tesla?
Yeah.
That's going good.
I mean, yeah. so you're...
I mean, I'm excited they're touring. They're a really good band, and they'll play Connecticut for sure. So cool. That's great news.
Oh, that's great.
Excellent.
Kansas, this is Kelly from Stratford.
We were looking to put them into the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater, but they are not touring at the moment.
Oh.
So we'll wait and see what happens. And if they don't tour during the summer, we'll put them either into Oakdale or Mohegan Sun.
Volbeat. Mike from Waterbury wants to know about Volbeat.
Volbeat looks like they're playing Mohegan Sun Summertime.
Nice.
Pete in West Haven.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
So my question is, well, I'll start it off like this. My first ever concert was Linkin Park in 2009. If Chester was still alive, would you have attempted to bring Linkin Park back to Connecticut?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, a lot of things could happen.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. What a great band.
Yeah. And
yeah,
powerful voice.
Terrible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, just great.
Yep.
One of those bands that, as we talked about earlier, could have played in the stadium.
Right.
Yeah. Jimmy is saying yes, definitely.
Yep.
Jimmy's box is not feeding the phone, right. And I am not going to start pressing buttons.
Right.
Yeah, we do. You don't want me to press any buttons.
Last time something blew up.
Yeah. you know, there are some bands that get asked every time, but people are coming in and they're coming out of the party, so we just want to answer the questions. Foo Fighters.
No Connecticut dates planned at all.
Okay.
I mean, I think that we forgot how special that amphitheater show was.
Oh, my God.
That was a treat. That wasn't a given. That wasn't a every time
that was a gift.
Summer rolls around, we're going to see them.
Yeah.
No. They're playing primarily festivals this summer. They are doing some separate dates other than festival dates, but they're basically doing festivals this summer.
Well, it's just like the Red Hot Chili Peppers playing Connecticut.
Yeah.
The first time in 20-something years.
Right.
At Sound on Sound. That doesn't happen all the time.
No, it's amazing.
No.
It's a gift.
No, you don't look at that and say, we'll catch them the next time they come to Connecticut.
Ain't no next time.
That's right.
This was the Chaz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Chaz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.